Okay, so we're going to, is this on?
Yes.
Okay. We'll reconvene the open session, report out of closed session. Do you have any report?
It is no reportable action.
Thank you. Okay, so the first item on our agenda is a presentation of certificates of recognition. I would like to read the certificate. The Certificate of Appreciation awarded to Renee Osborne. This certificate is hereby presented on behalf of the Board of Directors in grateful recognition of your dedicated efforts and valuable service as the General Manager of the Los Osos Community Service District from October 2016 to August of 2019. We thank you for your energy, motivation, accomplishments, and commitment to the community of Los Osos and wish you well in all future endeavors.
Thank you very much.
It says on the agenda, presentation of certificates of recognition. So that must mean there's a second one. So we have Ann Cudart, who is retiring after 14 years of service to the Los Osos CSD from 7:15 to 7:15:05 and through the end of this month. And then she's going back east to be a grandmother, correct? So we thought we'd give you a clock. That was before Matthew was born. You don't understand. There's no battery in it, so it's not running.
Every number is five.
You're welcome. Okay, so item number 8 on our agenda is for public comment for items not on the agenda.
Good afternoon. Lindy Owen from Los Osos here. I wanted to just kind of go back to a subject that's sort of still floating vaguely out there, and it's the discussion about whether we actually have a, and we've worked on the Parks and Rec to look at a dog park area that Renee did a lot of initial work to sort of set up. And I think the mystery is whether it is actually guaranteed that that is going to be a future dog park if we have a lease. Renee suggested that we have a signed lease, correct? And if that is so, then we need to ask why our supervisor is still looking at the library relocating to that lot, because obviously they're not going to go well together. Dogs don't read, and readers don't want to listen to barking. So so that is a little bit of what I just sort of like to bring, because I think it needs to be clarified. We're looking at the update to the community plan, and it still shows that there are tennis courts going on that lot. So something needs to be updated, and I'd like to see it go into the community plan as whatever we hope to see. Another bit of information is that the traffic and circulation, the LOCAT group, has been looking at the update. It's like a 10-year update at this point of top priorities of what roads and what attention and monies should go into the next into all the projects that are on the existing list. Some of them have been completed, and some have dropped down below. We've been going through, had a 2 months, almost 3 months of meeting when we meet each month of addressing those. But I'd like to invite the public to come to the next meeting or to the LOCAC in August here. And I'm sorry, I cannot remember what day the meeting is, but it's on our LOCAC website. The good thing is that we're looking at a possible bike lane, walk lane, multiple-use lane that would go from Palisades all the way down to Pine, and that would be a beautiful thing to be looking at. And also from Palisades to the library, looks like that may be completed too in the near future, so we don't have to walk in the street. And then Tree and Landscape is also hoping to work with the county parks to get some trees planted in our very naked-looking community park.
So I guess she gave the LOCAC report for you. Any other public comment for items not on the agenda? Okay, we'll close that public comment. Do we want to give a quick response about the dog park? Because it is something that we're working on right now.
Yes, I have been in contact with the county in regards to it, and I think we should have something moving forward very quickly.
Okay. Yeah, so it's something that we're looking into. So, all right, so we'll look at administrative and committee reports, the fire department reports.
Good evening, Board of Directors and General Public of Los Osos. My name is George Huang with CAL FIRE. For the month of July, our report for July, we ran 123 emergencies within Los Osos. We were up 30% from last year. Out of the 123 calls, 70 of them consist of medical aids. Two were actual surf and cliff rescues out in Montana de Oro. 16 traffic accidents, 9 fires, 4 vehicle accidents, 6 hazardous calls, anything from spilled oil to power lines, electrical possibly down, 8 public assist calls, and 8 false alarms. Currently, our weed abatement, we initially started with 41, and then we dropped it down to about 14 or 15 parcels. Since then, 6 have been cleared. They've actually contacted us and said that their properties have been cleared, showed us pictures, etc. And we are down to 8 vacant parcels. And we had a couple corrections from different areas in the community that we went back and looked at to make sure that we were cleared. So we're down to 8. On July 24th, Terry was pinned at the SLO Board of Supervisors in downtown SLO for officially being hired with CAL FIRE. And one of the things that I want to talk about is Pulse Point. If you haven't heard about Pulse Point yet, Pulse Point is a smartphone app designed to support public safety to improve cardiac arrest survival rates, CPR, AED locations. If you download the app on your phone called Pulse Point and you download SLO County Fire, you will actually see every emergency that happens within the county and Los Osos. If there's a CPR call, it'll actually come up and it'll actually show you where the AEDs are at. And if you're certified CPR, you could actually go and help save a life. But you can actually see every emergency from fires to electrical to medical aids to car accidents all within Los Osos. And it will pop up on your phone as a live dispatch and you can actually see it. So Pulse Point is one of the apps that if you have a chance, please download on your phone. PG&E is going to have an online webinar August 14th at 2 p.m. So if you go online, you can learn more about the public safety electrical shutoff, etc., that you can read about. And I'm going to repeat a couple times, but Fire Safety Fair is October 12th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And if you haven't stopped by Station 15, we have painted the station and it looks beautiful. And I would ask everybody in the public to come by and take a look. End the report unless there are questions. Yes, sir.
Hi, Chief. A member of the community asked me the other day about county rights of way with regard to the fuel reduction. And how do we... The county's responsible, I assume, for all of the unpaved streets around here. This person seemed to think that they were a bit remiss in some of the mowing that should have been happening on those streets. Do we ever get involved with telling the county, hey, it's time, go mow, or do we just leave that to them?
We are in communications with the county, so it depends on what the area is. Okay. Sometimes I have emails forwarded to me, and I'll talk to the county directly and say, hey, which areas are within the county in this area? And if it becomes a huge fire hazard, then they would come out and work on it. But if it's an area that's deemed a habitat, then I would document that and know that, okay, that area will stay clear from. But if it's something that's all within the county, I'll work directly with the county on.
Okay. I'm not sure exactly where the concerns were, and I know that we do have lots of habitat on some of those streets, and it's not quite as easy as just go mow it.
Absolutely.
And I kind of suggested that that complainer come tonight, but I don't see him, so I'm not sure exactly where that is. The answer is that we're in communication with the county.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to utility report.
Yes.
Pardon me, the Sheriff Department report. Oh, I believe we have no... Oh, I'm sorry, you were hiding back there. I didn't see you.
Good evening. Justin Nelson, commander at the Sheriff's Coast Station. For the month of July, we had 555 calls for service, took 65 reports. This time last year, we had 600 calls for service and took 61 reports. We responded to two assault and battery calls for service. Of note, we responded to a battery call between tenants. No medical aid was needed. Neither desired prosecution. We responded to 32 disturbance calls, or we had 32 disturbance calls, 7 reports of note. We responded to a juvenile throwing items at a residence. Eventually, deputies were able to coordinate with Mobile Crisis, who responded, and a mental health evaluation hold was placed on the juvenile. We responded to 8 calls for service regarding burglaries and thefts. Of note, we responded to a burglary of medical marijuana and paraphernalia from a garage at a residence in Los Osos. On a separate call, we responded to another burglary from an unlocked residence. Stolen was wine, iPhone, and a backpack. It was identified that the same subject did both burglaries. The subject was eventually located and arrested for burglary. We had 2 calls for service regarding vandalism. Of note, a cut fence at a residence. Nothing was taken and no suspect leads at this time. We had 6 calls for service regarding phone scams. A typical phone scam that is going around right now. Is you get a phone call stating that criminal activity is linked to your social security number, and you're told that if you don't call the telephone number left on your voicemail, that your social security number will be suspended. To reactivate, you're instructed to purchase gift cards and provide those activation codes. We responded to 12 suspicious circumstance calls. Of note, we responded to a call of a suspicious female outside of a residence looking through items outside of the residence. The subject was contacted and ended up having a warrant for vandalism out of Santa Cruz. For July 4th, we had a total of 19 calls for service. Of note, we responded to a disturbance call regarding a male at one of the gas stations in Los Osos. The male was eventually asked to leave. We also had a theft from an unlocked vehicle containing a backpack with $500 in gift cards. And we had a total for July 4th, we had a total of 4 calls for service regarding fireworks complaints. Any questions?
No. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, now we'll move on to the Utility Department report. I assume since Jose is not here, you'll be giving it?
I will give you the report. Yes, Jose is under the weather. The total production for the month of June 2019 was approximately 16.0 million gallons. This equates to an average daily demand of 532,100 gallons. This represents an increase in production from last year by approximately 2.3%. Using the state's formula to calculate residential usage per capita per day for the month of June 2019, our residential customers used 71.2 gallons per person per day, an increase from 69.6 gallons per person per day in June of 2018. Production and runtime hours by well site. During this year, we have Palisades at 4.63, 3rd Street, 0, 8th Street, 5.67, 10th Street, 5.65, South Bay Lower, 0.02, and South Bay Upper, 0.00. Runtime hours, Palisades is at 226.8, 8th Street is at 280, 10th Street is at 333, pardon me, and South Bay is at 43.6, and South Bay Upper is 4.4. Water billing information, 57% of the service area received bills for approximately 15.37 million gallons consumption for the period of April 8th, 2019 through June 11th. This generated approximately $277,435 in revenue. During the month of June, the utilities crew performed all required operations and maintenance tasks. This various tasks and facilities maintained our water distribution and treatment, daily, weekly, monthly water quality sampling, analysis of reporting for all well sites and throughout the distribution system, monthly meter reading, valve exercise program, groundskeeping at all district facilities, and residential meter replacement program. 33 meters were changed out for the month of June, and staff worked on bringing South Bay wells back online. There are no updates really in drainage and rainfall totals. There's no update there. In June, we had 0 inches of rain. And if there's any questions that anybody might have.
Any questions? Okay, thank you. We'll move on to the general manager's
report. General manager report. Staff's been working on the transition between general managers. I've been meeting with Ron Munns to discuss current duties, updates on reports, and current projects in progress. We have several meetings planned to ensure a smooth transition, and Mr. Munns has been scheduled for training, and agencies have been notified and given updated contact information. Low-income assistance fund. At the December 2018 meeting, staff was given direction to keep the low-income assistance fund program open for sewer laterals until all residents had completed their sewer lateral hookups. In June, I received two calls from residents. One resident is in the process of completing their application. At this time of this report, I had not received any other applications, and the county is actively advising residents of our program. There is a remaining $109,015.64 in the Community Foundation Fund account and $10,477.89 in the Los Osos Low Income Assistance Fund checking account with the district. A check has been written to the Los Osos CSD for the district's time and expenses in the amount of $1,068.87. The current bank statement, foundation statement, check register, and detailed account of time and expenses is attached. And the check to the district has been deposited and is included in the June revenue expense report. I do have an update from the county regarding how many sewer laterals need to be completed. Of the 70 unconnected properties, one is waiting for low-income assistance through the CSD, leaving 69 properties that may require enforcement. A list was transferred to the County Planning and Building Department last year. Code enforcement was tasked with notifying properties with notice of violations and impending fines. Those notices were sent earlier this year with a compliance date of September 3rd, 2019. Regarding the PG&E possible electricity shutdown, the county has been working with all the city's special districts and emergency service providers on how to prepare the residents in case of any electricity shutdown. Staff has prepared a flyer that can be distributed to the public to help them prepare for any possible shutdown, and our district water facilities are equipped with generators and should have no interruptions in case of services in case something like this is to happen. Anybody have any questions regarding any low-income fund or electricity shut down, something.
Okay, seeing none. LOCAC, whatever you could add to that?
Probably not much. Lynette Tornotsky, I'm representing LOCAC tonight. I'm the secretary. David Harris, our chairperson, was unavailable to attend. I'll report on what Carrie Brown, our county senior planner, who attends all our meetings, had to say. Good things to report, especially about the community plan. The draft environmental impact report is due out August 8th. There will be a 90-day review period. They will have a public meeting. They're also trying to incorporate the habitat conservation plan into that. So it looks like November 6th would be the end of the review period. Unfortunately, the Habitat Conservation Plan has not gone into the Federal Register yet, but she says they do expect it to be released this summer. She also reported on a project that was of interest to many people in town, the First Street Project. It was heard at the Planning Commission 2 weeks ago, and it was approved but modified. So it was reduced to a 12-foot encroachment with the 4-foot path that would go through that encroachment. As of her attendance at that meeting, there had not been an appeal to that project. So unless somebody else here has an update on that, it's probably going through the way it was. Supervisor Bruce Gibson was away, but his legislative assistant, Blake Fixler, addressed the fact that the RAC is looking for a replacement to be Bruce's appointed person. The RAC is the Water Resources Advisory Committee, and probably somebody here, I know they don't meet during the summer, could explain more what that was about. They are looking for someone to replace the person who stepped down. We heard several land use things. There was a homestay permit that went on the consent agenda because it was sort of a no-brainer. All the rules were followed. The one that was quite a long part of that LOCAC meeting was a proposed minor use permit for a temporary contractor staging area at the corner of Los Olivos and Fairchild. The project was heard quite extensively at LOCAC at the land use meeting and also at the LOCAC meeting. And the project initially started in June of 2017, and it's still going on. It looks like it has been continued off calendar. It's likely to be heard back in October. We had quite a bit of discussion on that project. So if you're interested in following up on it, you can look at the minutes on our website also. It LOCAC tabled it until the August 22nd meeting. So if you're interested in attending, that would be good. The other thing I wanted to mention, I'm always trying to plug our committees, the Land Use Committee, which meets on the first Monday. Lindy touched on that a little bit. The next meeting for land use is August 5th. The agenda is online. It will be at Sea Pines at 7 p.m., and we hope to see some new faces. That would be great. Tree and Landscape meets the second Monday of the month. It's at 6:30 South Bay Community Center, and Lindy touched on that as well, about trying to incorporate some trees into our community plan. Traffic and Circulation meets the third Monday of the month. That's at South Bay Community Center, the small meeting room. It meets at 5:30. And LOCAC is always the fourth Thursday, except for November and December. It's at 7 o'clock, and it is at the Sea Pines Golf Course in the big conference room. And any information you might want on some of these projects, we have some interesting ones coming up on that land use meeting, August 5th, Wild Coast Farms, a proposed conditional use permit for 22,000 square feet indoor cultivation of marijuana. And that usually brings out a lot of people at the meeting. So if you're interested, please show up. And locac.info is our website. Any questions?
What was the date that you just gave for that?
5th?
August 5th for land use.
Right.
Yeah. There are several projects on there, mostly additions to houses.
No, but I was talking about the...
The marijuana?
Cannabis,
yes,
cultivation.
That one is going to be heard that day. Okay. So it's been heard several times already, but we keep sending it back because there's incomplete reports. So hopefully it will be more complete this time. We'll see.
Thank you. I was looking for some clarification about the HCP and the land use plan. You mentioned August 8th, I think, as a release for the land use update.
Yes, that is the draft EIR will be released August 8th.
You also mentioned that there was interest in combining comment period with the HCP, which hasn't been put in the Federal Register yet.
Exactly.
That's... Would they delay the release of the land use EIR?
No, she didn't seem to say that at all. The Habitat Conservation Plan, who knows, this summer, but she was quite clear that the draft EIR will be released August 8th. A 90-day review period takes us up to November 6th. So there's going to be a public meeting, at least one, and they are interested in comments.
And Julie Vandeweer has the document. She just hasn't posted it yet.
Right. I've heard it's back there. Correct. I was just hoping they could get it posted in time to have that comment period wrap up about the time the draft EIR does so that everything dovetails and people
our
trying to answer comments.
In Ventura. I'll give her number. You can call her.
I don't do that anymore.
I wanted to give you an update on one thing that you... Yeah, the appeal period did run for First Street, and there was no appeals filed.
No appeals. Okay. Well, that people will be interested in that, so thanks.
Okay, moving right along to the Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce report.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Steve Vincent with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce is holding an open house with the Rotary, having a mixer, Build Your Own Ice Cream Sundae, and that's going to be... That's going to be on August 14th, and it's going to be held in the parking lot behind the chamber. There'll be beer and wine, a Hawaiian shirt contest, raffle prizes, and a preview of Grandparents' Day, Rotary Grandparents' Day. Also, there's going to be a joint open house with the Morro Bay Chamber. That's going to take place September 11th from 5:30 to 7 at the Sage Landscapes, which is 1301 Los Osos Valley Road, right across the street from the Beach Hut Deli. The 41st Annual Oktoberfest and 14th Annual Car Show and Motorcycle Show is going to be happening October 27th, Sunday, October 27th, 9 a.m. to 5:30. The Kiwanis Club will have their annual breakfast at 8 a.m. Please see our website for further details. This summer, the Business of the Month... June's Business of the Month was Nardoni's Pizzeria, and the July Business of the Month was Grocery Outlet. I don't have it on me, but the South Bay Community Center is having Bunko Nights. Director Susana, do you know what night that is, the Bunko night? It's like the 9th or the 14th.
Oh, I should.
I've never played Bunko. I don't know if anybody
I'm
else.
Find out that night what it's all about.
It's going to be a big night. Yeah, it's not like bingo where you're just playing with your own cards. You've got to get other people involved.
16th.
Okay, the 16th.
Yes.
And there'll be beer and wine and I understand it's going to be...
It's my understanding.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So I think it's $30 to get in, right? And it's...
I don't know. I've just been informed that I should I'd better be
okay,
there.
Okay, it's on our website. Yeah, right. I'll be there, too. It's on the Chamber website, but also the Community Center has a nice website as well. Just go to their events calendar, and all the information will be there. And I think that's all I've got for us tonight. If anybody has any questions.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks.
So do we have a fire focus group? No. What?
Vicky? My report is here. Okay. At the latest fire focus group.
Your mic is on.
Thank you. Regarding Cabrillo Estates and the FireWise / NEAT programs, there were 40 attendees at the latest NEAT meeting, and 100 people have filled out questionnaires regarding their capabilities and needs if they have to evacuate during an emergency. There's a meeting on August 4th to discuss the elements of emergency preparedness. Status of current projects, Las Encinas, there's no current action. Cabrillo Estates, tree trimming is done for now. Monarch Grove, tree trimming is done for now. MDER, that's the Morro Dunes Ecological Reserve, some work is finally being done. That's a direct quote from members of the public. dead trees and brush are being removed in the first 50 feet only. Future projects, Morro Showers. Blake Fixler from Supervisor Gibson's office is tasked with locating the new owner to begin conversations on the park's emergency status. A community chipping event is to be scheduled for 2020. Montaña de Oro, the state is going to spend $1.4 million on cleanup projects. None of that money will go to the coastal zone. And that's my report.
Any questions? Okay, we'll move on to Parks and Rec.
Okay, good evening. We had a meeting on July 16th. We went over our two potential projects that we're working on, the dog park and the pocket park. Most of our discussion with the dog park revolved around Santa Barbara's dog park. Bill Fitzgerald caught a clip of a newscast, which was helpful, and then he got all the materials from Santa Barbara for a new dog park they're putting in. A lot of great background material, national trends in dog parks, considerations that we would want to take. But the biggest thing that we saw there was that their budget was like a $500,000 budget. So we're working to understand all the different pieces of where all that money's going to, because we don't have $500,000 for a dog park right now. But we're going to figure out what where that money's going, and then the facilities that, you know, maybe there's bathrooms or things like that that are driving those costs. So, but it's a wealth of information, and thank you again to Bill for sorting that out, and then he's been talking with the city down there for the last few weeks. The next piece, then Lindy brought up, but wanted to make sure that the county understands that property is for a dog park. We're getting the lease sorted out, like Jeff talked about, so that's going on right now. And the pocket park, we're basically... that working group's working on getting some materials together for a visual presentation, so a project description and a sketch of what we're proposing exactly, so we can start working through that process, which is pending the snail studies, which hopefully will be accomplished this fall when it rains again. Our next meeting is in September, so it'll be September 17th is our next meeting right here. Any questions?
Nope. Okay. utility advisory, Chuck?
Utility advisory committee at our regularly scheduled meeting listened to updates about all of the capital improvement projects that we have going, including the leak detection effort. That's one we're going to get underway now that the rains are over and things are drier. Good progress on the utility yard. I mean, it's always slow. We're still waiting for some sprinkler plans, that kind of thing, step by step. Of course, we got the grant for the 8th Street well, but we can't start the work until January 1st or we don't get reimbursed. I think the big news out of other than updates was that the committee decided not to add irrigation or indoor plumbing to the service line in terms of leak adjustments. You know, now we if you have a break in your service line between the meter and the house, we will consider some sort of leak adjustment. But for irrigation and indoor plumbing and that kind of thing, we decided not to add those kind of things, feeling that the homeowner should be a little more in tune with those kind of things, and they might be the slower kind of leaks that you should really be noticing rather than that one big burst that might happen and you don't even have a chance to respond to it until you get home from being gone for a while. Our next meeting, third Wednesday of August, that is 17th? No, that's July. Excuse me. The 21st, I guess that would be. And that's at 5:30 here.
Yeah. Any questions? Okay, Financial Advisory Committee, we met. And the committee recommended approval of the warrants, the financial reports, and the designation of the interest percentage between water drainage and parks and rec in the LAIF. So that was all we talked about. So we have director's announcements at district and attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars. So Renee, do you want to give the report? Oh, pardon me. The next Financial Advisory Committee meeting will be Tuesday the 3rd, because Monday the 2nd is Labor Day, so we had to push it back a day. So anyways, do you want to give the report on the CSDA, or do you want Chuck to do it, or how do you want to do it?
We had county planning there, and they discussed EDUs and the change to ADUs and the housing, what kind of housing development they're looking at coming and affecting San Luis Obispo County by, I think it was 2025. Is that the year that they gave us? 2025, and it was about 10,000 homes that they're looking at impact.
10,810.
Yeah. Other than that, we had all the CSDs do updated reports, and I felt very confident that we were the only ones that had a very positive report. That's how I felt.
Because mm-hmm. we didn't take the rate increase.
Yes. We announced that we didn't take the rate increase, and that we got an applause for that.
The only thing I would add to that, in as the county's doing this housing update, for the county and trying to figure out where these 10,810 units can be located. Los Osos is specifically excluded from that. So none of that housing is envisioned occurring in Los Osos. That's because of the prohibition on future development subsequent, you know, to HCP, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So. So response to previous asked questions, we have none for today. So can I have public comment? Well, first of all, does anybody want to pull an item on the consent agenda?
I have a couple of things I'd like to address. Maybe, well, let's see. Is it I? Yeah, the waiver of conflict with S&T, there's a statement in there that the adjudication resulted in a JPA. And I don't believe that's the case. We've talked recently about forming a JPA.
That's correct.
But we don't currently operate as a JPA.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, that would need to be clarified. And then it was my understanding that at Finance the other night, there were some questions raised about a couple of warrants that we did not authorize an increase for, 29045 and 29046. Maybe we should pay those according to the rate that was agreed upon and then talk about the extra, however you want to handle that. I don't know.
Do we want to pull that item for separate discussion?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So then you're just making that
just
correction
to
get rid of the JPA.
Right. Yes, I will clarify it. And I will let your board know that S&T Mutual did sign the contract, their waiver this week.
Okay. All right. Okay, so then we'll go ahead and take public comment on the administrative committee reports and the consent agenda items with the exception of 11C.
11C being the whole warrant packet?
Yes.
Okay. Julie Tacker, and that is the subject I did want to talk about. So I have a handout for you that you can peruse in the time between now and when we get there. This is the Grace Environmental.
Okay, you need to talk about that when
I'm going to.
Pulled,
I'm
letting, not now.
I'm not. I'm telling you what I'm handing
okay,
out.
Okay, well then. Just
thank you, Marshall.
Stay focused.
I'm focused. Trust me. I'm handing out the contract for you to peruse between now and when we discuss the item a little bit later. And thank you for pulling it, Chuck. The with regard to some of the reports, Lynette mentioned the Wild Coast Farms cannabis project that the Land Use Committee will be looking at on Monday. The water report that goes with that, Lynette, is not on the website with that item. I just checked on my phone. So that needs to be uploaded, and I encourage each and every one of you to look at that project's idea of how it's going to offset its water use. This particular project is in our basin. This is not in the fringe area in the valley. This is in our basin. And the last direction that the Land Use Committee gave, I'm on that committee. I'm not speaking for that committee. But the direction that we gave to our chairman was to take it to the BMC. That portion of the project. So the Basin Management Committee should be looking at that. Couple of things that I haven't seen in any of your committee or general manager's reports. I'd like an update on the election repayment. I'd like, we all just read in the paper that Diablo Canyon funds are coming. I'd like to know how that affects the district. And I have a question about Vicki's report about what is a Morro Shores emergency status? What is that and what does that mean? And then I would ask that perhaps with agenda item K, this the weed abatement direction that you're giving your chief and your general manager actually be stayed until you actually read that ordinance and figure out how you're going to actually implement it. According to the staff report, the properties will have until September 4th to abate. The ordinance says August 10th, so that is after the ordinance. And then how is the district going to recoup all of its administrative costs associated with pursuing the abatement if it has to abate? We never addressed that, and I hope we do soon.
Thank you. Any other? Yep, Lindy.
Lindy Owen, a few things. I think the fire safe activities that I've seen, the clearing has looks really healthy. I'm just pleased that they did not take as many trees as they might have, in particular over at Monarch Grove. You can see the work that was done there. A lot of the trees that were dead have been removed, but it opened it up, and I think it's definitely much more fire safe. I guess sorry to see that we have a water increase, 2.3%, as we go into summer. Probably makes sense. I saw what San Luis City is doing now, and they're doing a program now to try out a product called Flume. It's a leak detector, and more than that, it actually tells you how much water you use in intervals. So my friend showed me how much she used 28 gallons to take her shower, and it clicked in, and she said, I'm going to have to be more careful. That's too much. I would encourage that we look at that product and possibly consider a program here with some of our conservation funds. It's under $200 per meter, so it's really somewhat affordable. And considering the meter repayment that one of our water clients has to deal with, those kinds of things would help a lot. When I kind of want to go back to a frustration that I see, and I just want the public to be aware that we have requested to Carrie Brown at the county, I've personally requested for probably 5 years, that on their website, what we look at currently is projects that are coming through. So they put the application permit project through, but we have to go out individually and find out through somebody saying what's going on that property. I believe this is a time to get much more clarity and put all of those applications, whether they're ministerial and we have nothing to say about them, or they're ones that go through the LOCAC, or the ones that somehow don't go through LOCAC. I think it's a really important part of the growth that's coming ahead. I'm also very concerned that there are people feeling that they can sell these empty lots now because we're so close to having a community plan and so close to habitat conservation, yet with 500 lots, we don't have water for those lots. So that is super important. I feel like the property buyers that step into that without doing their homework are being basically led along like the last ones that bought houses and then there was a sewer problem for 30 years or something. So I really think that we need to ask the county to step up, show that there is a list of people that have already, there are already people that are on a list with the county to be the first ones to get to build. And if we build 5 houses a year, people that are buying properties should know that they're going to be waiting a long time.
Thanks. Any other public comments?
Good evening, Ron Menz. This actually kind of goes back to the previous or the presentations that were given, but I wanted to relate them to the Utility Advisory Committee. I want to really thank Ann. I was on that committee for 10 years or more, and she was the rock-solid piece that kept that committee together through thick and thin, so I wanted to publicly say that. And to Renee and the General Manager's Report, we've been spending quite a few hours together this last week, and I really want to thank her for her gracious giving of time to me to help that transition. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board for action to receive and file and approve consent agenda items with the exclusion of 11C. Somebody wants to
So moved. I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, can we have a roll call, please?
Director Forcroy?
Yes.
Vice President Cesania?
Yes.
Director Millage?
Yes.
Thank you. Director Womack?
Yes.
President Ohoski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that then, we'll move on to the general action items. 12A, is the customer planning on being here?
We contacted him, and he said he was, so he's not here.
Okay.
Do we move on and proceed?
Should we? This was an appeal filed by a customer, but he's not here. Should we just continue it to next meeting, or what should we do?
That would be at your discretion.
Okay, what do you guys want to do? I mean, I don't think we should hear it without him here, but
I think the property owner should be here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So can we just say if he's not here next month, then we're just...
You'll hear the item.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. We will let him know.
Any public comment on that item? Okay, so we'll just pull that item till next month then. All right, so that brings us to the last item on our agenda, which is 11C, So there was a question that was raised at the Financial Advisory Committee regarding the amount of the check and the warrants to Grace Environmental. Julie just passed out the contract. So I think maybe what we might want to look at is to authorize payment of the amount in the contract and then have some discussion between now with Grace to just determine, because I don't know that we formally approved that increases. So I think we need to, I would like to see them get paid, but I think we should pay the other amount and then have some subsequent discussions with them. That would be my recommendation. So. Okay, any questions? All right, public comment on this item? You pulled it. I'm sorry.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and the question that was raised by the Finance Committee was one of the committee members asked about the timing of having the two checks on 1 month. The explanation was that one invoice came late, but it was me who said, why is there an increase in the second check? And Ms. Osborne said that she had, I should have written down the exact quote, but that she had let the board know that there'd be an increase coming. And my response was, that's not how it works. It works through a contract amendment that comes before the public, and we get to say something about it. And so how this happened, I do not know. It is a 5% increase, and I just don't know how that came about. It seems like that would have been discussed along the way, and the contract does not have an inflationary factor. So I don't think you can authorize this payment, even if you wanted to. Marshall's suggestion is good, but again, whatever increase that might be on the horizon or that little bit of money would also be part of a public discussion. Public, it all comes to the public. So I'm really bothered by this. I'm really bothered that somebody doesn't know how this works. And I'm glad you're going to fix it.
Is there any public comment after Lindy? Okay. We'll close public comment then, unless.
Lindy Owen, I believe if there is no contract to provide the increase, that 5% needs to be removed, and that's pretty simple. I also have not heard much about board members that were overcompensating and would like to know where that is going. I think acknowledging mistakes of asking for compensation to sit at meetings that were not covered needs to continue clarifying what happened, and then I think all the board members that did take extra compensation should be returning it in whatever way they want to do it. It was an error and did not get caught, but it was also clear in the bylaws that it was not meant to cover many meetings that were attended. Thank you. It amounts to quite a bit of money, so that's why I'm asking more about it. Thank you.
Okay, we'll close public comment. So I just wanted to say what I had said. I mean, this is no reflection on Renee or Grace, okay? I just think we need to have a clarification, and perhaps we need to take some action in open session. So I think we just need to get this. I'd like to see you guys, not you guys, but Grace get the $8,010.50, and then we can address that other thing, because it just came up here at the last minute. But I think it's something we do need to discuss, Jeff.
Yes, it's fine.
So we can't, I mean, we couldn't approve the higher amount today, or could we? I mean,
I would suggest that you approve the standard contract amount and then discuss it.
Okay. So we'll agendize this for next month.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion? Okay. So we're going to, I guess the motion is to approve the warrants with the adjustment in whatever warrant that is to $8,010.50. With that item to come back for discussion at next month's meeting. Can I get a second to that?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Again, this is no reflection. We just need to get clarification here, Renee. Okay, so with that then, we'll go on to our last item on the agenda, which is, future agenda items. I think we will be coming back next month with a report from Mr. Minnery or myself regarding the director's compensation. Is that correct?
Okay.
Because I think we wanted to give Mr. Minnery a time to get up to speed, and I think he's doing an awesome job. So we will have that coming next month. So with that, then, we'll move to closing. Oh, and then there was a question that was raised today. I'm sorry. I did want to. Oh, the elections, the issue about the election repayment.
Right.
Did you want to respond to that just briefly, that that's something we're looking at?
That's something I have to look at, and that's another thing. I appreciate the reminder, and I did put it in my notes tonight for that.
Yeah, that was one of the items that we have to. Okay, so with that, then, we'll go to closing board comments, starting with you.
I don't have any comments.
It's time of transition. Thank you, Renee, for all the energy and effort that you put in here. And the well at 8th Street, that grant, good stuff. I appreciate that, and the hard work at keeping utilities. Actually, we've moved ahead. I think we've made great progress in the past couple of years. And I look forward to starting to work with Ron, too, as well. Thank you.
I would just echo those comments. Thank you, Renee, especially on all the parks stuff that we've been working with. And thank you very much for the way that you've handled the transition.
Yes.
Of course.
It's really awesome. Thank you.
I'm going to move back to the side of the room because I feel like there's some additional comments.
Go ahead. I've enjoyed working with you, Renee, and I wish you well in your future endeavors.
Thank you. I, too, have enjoyed working with you, and in spite of the coughing.
So, yeah, and I wanted to just say, Renee, that I know that that presentation, there's oftentimes it's just blank language that's filler, but I think everybody on the board, including me, really feels strongly that that language is very, very appropriate, and it, you just need to take it to heart that we really, really appreciate all the work that you did for the district. So with that, we'll be adjourned until September 5th, is that correct? September 5th. I don't know how I remember that day, but okay. Thank you, everybody.